Good day and welcome to this new series on monitoring. Today we're going to talk about monitoring, alerts, and what's expected of a person to be on call. First, we need to differentiate between monitoring and alerting. What is monitoring? Monitoring is simply observing and saving historical data of what's happening in our infrastructure. In this case, I'm running Site 24/7 on a node in a virtual machine. Yes, as you can see, I have the load average that's showing me the history from a day ago. CPU usage, memory usage, open file descriptor, these are all things that are happening on my server, and not all of these things are necessarily going to alert me, and that's the big difference. Alerts are designed for proactive monitoring, that is, when something is happening that requires attention. This tension can be immediate or maybe not so immediate, obviously depending on the severity of the issue. So, not everything that's on a dashboard necessarily needs an alert. In this case, I have memory usage, yes, it is around 40%, and obviously I don't want it to alert me if it goes up to 50, 60, but I would perhaps need it to alert me if it reaches 80 or 90%. Well, what should and shouldn't trigger an alert? Alerts are those things that have a real impact. What does this mean? High CPU usage does not always mean that there is an impact. In other words, it is not always a good idea to alert when there is a lot of CPU usage on a server, because it does not necessarily mean that the server is malfunctioning or that there is an impact on the clients. So, you have to be very careful when configuring these alerts. Why? Because we want to avoid what is called alert fatigue, right? Or alert fatigue or alert fatigue. And this is something very common in all the companies I have worked for. It's very common that, by default, we start creating alerts that, perhaps, are already in our monitoring system, such as CPU usage, memory usage, disk usage, and those alerts start to be a bit noisy, and, at first, it's like, oh, well, I'm getting an alert for 70% CPU. You look at it, see that it's fine, and say, well, never mind. The next day it comes back, you look at it and say, oh, it's fine, never mind. And suddenly one day, it's like the story of Johnny and the Wolf. Suddenly one day you get an alert that says 80% and you say, oh, this one comes to me every day. And you start to ignore it, and the day you get an alert that really requires immediate attention, you don't pay attention to it and suddenly you have a problem. So it's very important to configure these alerts correctly so that they only alert if they need attention. Another thing to avoid, and this is basically based on each person's practice and environment, is alerts for normal fluctuations. You see, during the day, generally, depending on the site, of course, you're going to have more traffic than at night, and that doesn't mean that you should have an alert that your CPU usage increased during the day, and no, obviously you already know that it increased because you obviously have more traffic. So it's not so good to have an alert for fluctuations, or at the same time it can be good to have an alert for fluctuations in specific cases. Maybe you don't expect traffic at night, but suddenly you have a lot of traffic, meaning that something may be happening. So, in that case, you could have an alert well configured to let you know when you really need to do something. But you have to be a little careful here, and we generally have to prefer alerts that are based on symptoms and not on causes. For example, sometimes it's not so good to have an alert that says your database CPU usage is too high, but maybe we can change it and make an alert that says the connections that are reaching the database have a lot of latency. Do you see the difference? So, on the one hand, we have the alert of a CPU usage that could be a cause of a problem, but not really always a problem. And on the other hand, we alert when we really have an impact and there really is something to do. And another tip is that we have to prioritize that the alerts are actionable. If an alert wakes you up in the middle of the night, it definitely has to make an alert that requires you to do something about it. I mean, do you see an alert coming at 3 in the morning saying that your pod in Kubernetes was restarted? No, it's absolutely useless. Why? Because obviously Kubernetes, if everything goes well, should restart that pod and everything should continue working. Obviously, I'm not saying that it's completely silent and that you'll never find out. We're going to talk about different types of thresholds and notifications, but you don't need to wake up. But I would change that alert so that you wake up if, for example, the pod has restarted 5 or 10 times in the last 10 minutes. In that case, there is something wrong and something that needs to be fixed. Do you see the difference? You always have to find the balance between an alert that really requires your attention versus an alert that is more informative. Here I have a typical configuration for how to handle notifications in our alerts. For example, if everything is okay, that is, if the app is working, We want to receive an email, an SMS, and a notification from our application. It doesn't need to call you on the phone to let you know that everything is okay, but it is good to receive a notification. Maybe you're working on something, you see that the notification comes in, great, you noticed it and it didn't wake you up in the middle of the night. Here I'm assuming that you have configured on your phone, and this can be done by both Android and iPhone, that notifications, text messages, and emails don't sound when you're sleeping, but phone calls do. In the following case, it would be something like a trouble or warning, right? Something that's not critical, and in this case I just want to receive an email, which is what I was saying earlier, that informs me that the pod went down. Yes, because the next day I wake up while I'm drinking my coffee, check my emails, and see that the pod went down at night. Obviously, it went back up, everything's fine, but I'd like to investigate to see what happened, why the pod went down, maybe look at the logs, maybe contact the team, and then we have the critical ones, right? Those would be alerts that require attention. And in this case, we do have all the types of notifications configured: email, SMS, phone call, and mobile push. Sometimes you can even set different times for each of them. For example, immediately after the alert is triggered, you receive an email and an SMS, for example, and a notification. Why do we have all three? And because there are times when you may not have internet. Maybe you are in a place where you do not have internet and you can have an SMS sent to you. And then you can set it so that if within a minute you have not clicked on no knowledge, that is, you have not picked up the notification, it will call you on the phone. And again, why hasn't it called on the phone and not a notification? And because you may be sleeping, you have muted your notifications so that you do not receive the alert that Pepito Juan added you on Facebook. If people use Facebook yet, I still don't, but a phone call will wake you up and will require that it usually calls you and tells you, there is an alert. It is a call made by a computer. No, it is not a person. And you have to press a number like this on the keyboard to accept that alert. Once you accept it, you get up and go to try to fix it. There's another thing to keep in mind and how the way of doing alerts has evolved in the real world. Those static thresholds, right? Or when something is broken or not broken, for example, CPU usage 80% or CPU usage 83%. Obviously, it doesn't apply to all scenarios. You can't have an alert that tells you when CPU usage is above 80%, when a database is around 75% all the time in one case and we have another database that's around 20% all the time. Obviously, it's not useful to have the same threshold for those two servers. So it's very important, instead of using hard-coded values, hard values, as I was saying earlier, to use trends. Again, these dead systems already do that. Yes, they now allow you to say, hey, this database is usually at 20% and now it's at 50%. There's something wrong that's happening, there's something strange with this database. Quote, so, in that case, if I had set the CPU limit to 80%, it wouldn't have warned me. In some systems, we can also have what's called the SLO, as I was saying earlier, or the SLA, which is basically like a contract that each service has with the client, for how long your service is going to be up and running. So, you can also alert with that. Instead of saying, for example, your error rate is greater than 5%, it can tell you, for example, hey, you've already had 2 hours of downtime this month. Notice that you're close to the limit and it warns you at that moment, hey, you can't have any more error rates. You've seen how things are changing. Those hard-coded values, those hard limits, aren't used as much, but instead you start to think about trends and more about the impact you're giving to the customer. Those notifications that you get on the phone are sometimes in English and sometimes it's hard to understand English. I'll leave a link in the description of Lip, which is a platform for learning English designed for developers and administrators. I'll leave it in the description in case you want to check it out. Well, what is alert fatigue or alert fatigue? And how can we avoid it? As I just said, if everything is alerting, that is, if you have a lot of alerts, nothing else matters. What does this mean? You're going to get so many alerts that suddenly in the middle of all that noise, an alert will arrive that really requires your attention and it will get lost in the middle. And this is something critical in all teams. Critical. It's the most important thing when configuring your alerts, to avoid alert fatigue. There are many techniques that you can use to reduce that number. You can, for example, group alerts if, for example, you have alerts that affect a service because it has a lot of CPU, but perhaps at the same time you also get one alert that the spot went down or that perhaps the memory is too high or that the RAM is too high. Instead of sending you 55 alerts for the same reason, that is, that the service is having problems in some way, they can be grouped together, and that again is very common in monitoring systems. You can group them based on the name of the service, for example. Perhaps it is a good technique so that you do not receive so many alerts at once and so that you can differentiate when, for example, You receive 10 alerts for one service, and perhaps you received an alert for another service, and since you have so many alerts at once, you can realize that there are two different things happening. Another super important thing is the severity level. We do not want all the alerts to call you by phone. We can have warnings or trouble so that it only sends you an email or perhaps a notification in Slack, or perhaps you receive an SMS or a notification on your phone, but it does not wake you up. So, that way the alert is saved, you can review it the next day, but not you have to run out and fix it. Another tip is to programmatically mute alerts. If every night you have a job that executes a query on the database and that causes the database to have a very, very high CPU usage, but you already know that it is normal, you can program the alert to be automatically muted during that time. Or you can put the CPU alert in the job or change the threshold and change it back when it finishes. So, try to use these techniques so that it does not warn you that something is happening when what is really happening is normal. Well, what is expected of a person who is on call? And this is a topic that we could make a whole video about. In fact, I think I already made a video more or less talking about all this, but we are going to try to summarize it quickly. First of all, the most important thing is to respond quickly. That does not mean that you solve the problem quickly. Obviously, it would be ideal if you could solve the problem quickly, but we do not necessarily want you to solve the problem quickly, but rather that you respond quickly. Why? Because what we want to avoid is that alert reaching someone else. So, let's say you're sleeping. It's 3 in the morning, you get an alert. You listen to it on your phone because I made a call, you press the knowledge button, depending on the system, it could be 1, 2, 3, whatever, right? You get up, you go to your computer, you can go to the bathroom, you wash your face, you freshen up, you go to the computer, and the first thing you're going to do is assess the impact and the scope. What's happening and what's having an impact? Again, let's try to differentiate between an alert that requires immediate attention versus an alert that's impacting customers, in other words, an incident. What's a good example of this? Disk space usage. We have a server that's filling up with disk space and we get an alert that it's at 90%. Right now the server is at 90% disk usage, but there's no impact. The server is working fine, the customers are doing well, using your system without any problems, but it is imminent that the disk space is going to be full, so it requires immediate attention. But this is not an incident, we do not need to wake everyone up, to notify, to put on the page that the system is down, to notify all our larger customers. No, nothing has happened yet, but it requires that we fix it quickly. So, in that case, what do you do? Try to solve the problem as quickly as possible. How do you do it? And if you get into the server and you can clear a lock, if you can do a zip, you can run lock, rotate, whatever, whatever gets you out of trouble at that moment to prevent it from reaching maximum disk usage, do it. It can be something that is not very elegant. It can be something like, as I said, deleting a file. It can simply be running a script by hand. You do not necessarily have to configure log rotate correctly for it to work from now on, right? You can do that the next day. The important thing now is to avoid the problem right now. I remember one time, it happened to me that I had some servers that were filling up disk space and we had like 20 servers at the same time that all had the same problem. They had a problem with the log rotate configuration and they were all filling up disk space. What did I do? I opened a terminal and I don't remember what it was called, but there was a little program that allowed you to SSH into many servers at once, and when you typed into one, they would all be written to at once. So I did that, I opened all the 20 servers, and I typed, I don't know, ermrf, bar, whatever. And I cleared the lock on all of them in a single line. So, that way I avoided the impact at the time, I was able to go to sleep peacefully because I knew that it would take more than 8 or 10 hours for the disk space to fill up again. So, I went to sleep and the next day I went and sat down, configured the lock rotate correctly so that from then on it wouldn't happen again. Let's move on. In the event that we have an incident, in the event that this is affecting customers, it is very important not only to resolve the issue, but to escalate it if necessary. Let's not be afraid to ask for help. If our system is in a critical state and we can't use it and we don't know how to fix it, it is very important to ask for help. And I know, it's a bummer to call a colleague on the phone to wake up and help you, but that's what they're on call for, right? To help you. And once that issue is resolved, it is very important to document and communicate those changes. It means that I have to start writing documentation at 5 in the morning after sleeping for 3 hours, and no, obviously not. You can write it down on a piece of paper, write down what you did, right? Save the commands you did, take some notes, and the next day, when you've slept a little more, at least you've had a nice cup of coffee, you sit down, document, and make all the necessary changes. Well, how can we scale well? How can we ask for help? What can we do? Again, it may happen that you need help with something that you can't solve, and it's important to have good rotation and a good configuration so that it's not unfair. What does this mean? Sometimes we always have people on our teams who know a lot, and unfortunately that can end up being a problem because that person who knows a lot will be called on the phone every day because they're the person who knows how to solve it. So it's very important to transfer that knowledge so that everyone has it. That's done by writing good documentation, writing good alerts so that the alerts show you a message about the things you can do. For example, if we look at the case I just mentioned, where a disk fills up, it's usually normal. You can have the alert tell you, look, this always happens. You ran a script or executed a line to clean up disk space. You need to fix the log rotate. So, that way, that person who knows a lot doesn't necessarily have to be woken up every time, and it's not unfair to that person. But what happens, for example, if we take the case I just mentioned, where a disk fills up, it's usually normal. You can have the alert tell you, look, this always happens. You ran a script or ran a line to clean up disk space. You need to fix the log rotate. So, that way, that person who knows a lot doesn't necessarily have to be woken up every time, and it's not unfair to that person. But what happens, for example, if we take the example of a disk that fills up, which is, you're sleeping and I don't know, your phone didn't ring, you had no signal, your battery ran out, or sometimes it happens that you had a bad night, you couldn't answer the phone, or something that can also happen is that you really are in an emergency. Hopefully that doesn't happen, but it can happen that you receive an alert at the moment when you are taking a relative to the hospital, or you may have a problem where you can't answer the phone at that moment. That's what automatic escalation is for, and it's what I was saying earlier about why we want to accept the alert as soon as it arrives. Because in the event that we can't answer the phone, we want the system to escalate to the next level. In the case of S247, you can do something like this. You can, for example, say, if the alert is critical after 5 minutes of the alert not being accepted, notify the level 2 group. In other words, you're going to have a level 1, a level 2, and level 2 only rings the phone in the event that level 1 doesn't answer or needs help. So, in general, that way, level 2 can sleep, level 1 fixes, stops all the penalties, fixes them, and if in case they don't need help or can't answer, they call level 2. And it's important that this alert is aligned with the team's goals. How long can we wait to fix the alerts? That depends on your company, and it's something you have to discuss at work about how long it's acceptable for someone not to answer an alert. And those people, when the phone rings, call, do it anyway. Then, in the event that level 2 doesn't answer, because it can happen two people, it can be, it's rare, but it can happen that two people don't answer. Well, again, after 15 minutes maybe you call the manager of those two people and have that manager try to fix the problem, and if not, unfortunately, you're going to have to call the guy who's not on duty to see if he can ask for help. What happens if the manager doesn't answer either? Because maybe the three of them went out partying. They shouldn't have done that, but let's say that another person goes out to party and, well, the same thing is going to happen, and it's going to reach the director, the manager's boss, who's going to have to do the same thing. They're going to have to call another team, whatever. So, note that it's very important to have these automatic escalations configured. It's also very important to save and record these escalations when they happen, because we want to make sure that it's fair for everyone. I mean, if there's a person who's at level 1 and it's very normal for them to miss alerts, we have to see what's happening. Generally, you can make rules or you can give your team good practices to take into account the day you're on call. What does that mean? Because if you're at level 1, you can't go out, you can't go to the movies, or you can go to the movies. When I say the movies, I mean, at a time when you're not going to be next to your computer. Maybe you can't answer the phone at the time, but ultimately, let level 2 know that you're going to be at the movies, so that they can make a change for you during those 3 hours. Hours that you're at the cinema, so that his phone rings first and then yours. That way you edit that 5-minute delay, right? During that outing, what does that mean? That if I'm at level 1 I can't get together with my friends, go dancing and get drunk. Yes, that's what it means. If you're at level 1, you shouldn't go out and drink alcohol. Why? Because you won't be able to be at your best to respond to those alerts. So, if you have something special, it's your wife's birthday, whatever, your son's, whatever, well, again, do an override. Ask the level 2 to change you, right? This week or that day so that you can celebrate peacefully, you can sleep peacefully, so that you're not even at level 2, that is, so that he's not the person whose phone rings in case your friend can't answer it either. So, it's very important to maintain these dynamics within the team. Yes, to be able to trust each other 100%, your teammate has to have good practice. Let's see, things to talk about and to close this video. The entire team should be on call. All the people on the team should be on call. It depends on each company. There are some companies where the highest levels are not on call. There are some companies where only the senior or junior level is on call, or maybe the junior is not on call, or maybe the junior is only at level 1. That depends on each company. My recommendation is that yes, most of the team should be on call, right? At the same time, obviously rotate so that it changes from week to week. Why? Because it is a very good way to learn and distribute knowledge. We want to avoid one person being the one who knows everything about the topics. Yes, we want it to be distributed so that everyone can solve a problem if it arises. How can we, for example, teach a junior to be on call? We can trust that person who is on call. Sometimes that is not possible. If we cannot trust that person at night, it may happen that they cannot do it. Solve. So what you can do is create time slots where that person is on call during the workday so that there's a senior available to help them and be there for them while they're learning. So a junior can only be on call during work hours and the senior will always be there to help and guide them in case something happens. How do companies compensate for on-call hours? Obviously, it depends on the company. There are companies that don't pay for on-call hours. There are companies that only pay you if the phone rings. There are companies that only pay you for being on call, without necessarily having the phone ring. It varies from company to company and it's something that you have to ask about if you're interviewing with a new company to see if the way they do it works for you. Another thing, how did you manage burnout? How did you manage the fatigue of having so many alerts coming in outside of working hours? And this is something that's very important to manage and try to detect as soon as possible because we want to avoid alert fatigue. We want to avoid having thousands of alerts coming in and not having to worry about the situation. Let's pay attention to it. That's the most important thing. So, when you notice that things are starting to get out of hand, that a lot of alerts are starting to come in, you have to see what's going on. Can something be fixed? We can add more people. We can start dividing the alerts among different teams. We can distribute those alerts to other people. We can obviously adjust them so that it doesn't happen again. And that's where the responsibility of the person on call lies. The person on call not only has to attend to the alerts and fix them, but maintain them, make sure that the alert that arrived, if it arrived and required attention, that it really requires attention. If you get an alert and it doesn't require attention, which obviously will happen because not everything is configured 100% perfectly on the first day, you, as the person on call, have the responsibility to fix that alert so that it doesn't go off again that same night to someone else, or to you, in the event that you're still on call. So, the world of alerts is something that is constantly being maintained. You don't set up an alert and forget about it. Forever, no. It's always going to be under constant maintenance and you're going to be modifying and improving it so that it's working properly all the time. Well, what are we going to see in the next video? In the next video, we're going to see what to do when you get an alert at 3 in the morning and you're in the middle of an incident, how to communicate, how to notify your partner, what to do, what tools to use. We'll see all that in the next video. Thank you very much to S247 for sponsoring this video. By the way, installing the agent is very simple. I installed it on my Raspberry Pi. I installed it on a server, all with just one line of Docker. I'm going to show you the line I used here. Let's see. Wait, look, server. Let's add more. Let's choose, for example, well, Linux. And you can do a wget with a script and you put bash and you pass it one here and that's it. And in Docker, it's the same. You can do Docker rank with all the sockets mounted. It's perfect. You can do everything in the cloud, you can do it on Raspberry Pi, you can do it on ONS. It doesn't have to be the cloud, it can be a server in your home, it can be a server in your company. Check it out, it's really good. That's all for today. I hope you learned something. Subscribe for more videos. Like if you liked it. Dislike. I don't know if you heard my stomach growling just now. I don't know why I had a good breakfast, but oh well. It's an alert. There's my stomach telling me, hey, Pablo, you have to eat something, you have to eat some protein. Put in some carbs, you have to do a workout, you have to follow me on the channel, train yourself. So that alert, you see? I have to adjust it to that alert because it doesn't require me to run out to eat right now. It can wait until I finish recording the video. So we have to set a threshold there to a warning so it doesn't sound so loud that I get a notification. You're hungry, Pablo is walking. Maybe, we have to think about it. Or maybe that's already a critical. I'm going to say that I have to run out just in case. Let's go eat in an hour because if not, it will keep ringing.